This episode is brought to you by our sponsors and by listeners like you on Patreon. Bombas' vision is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you are also giving to someone in need. Bombas has designed their socks, shirts, and underwear to be the clothes you can't wait to put on every day. The Webb family over here has used them, and we love them. They're comfy, fun-looking, and come in family packs, which is awesome. I've never seen that before. I use my Bombas socks when I go on runs, and they're extremely comfortable. Everything they make is soft, seamless, tagless, and has a cozy feel. And the Bombas t-shirts are made with thoughtful design features like invisible seams, soft fabrics, and perfect waist so they hang just right. And did you know that socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the three most requested clothing items at homeless shelters? That's why Bombas donates one for every item you buy. So far, Bombas customers like you have helped donate over 50 million items of essential clothing. Go to bombas.com/purplerocket and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/purplerocket for 20% off. bombas.com/purplerocket. Parents, school's out, summer's here, and the kids are back at home with a lot of free time. Go wild with Wonder this summer without school. Enroll in a fun, flexible learning experience with over 140,000 online classes and camps for every kid with any interest. Look, as a fellow parent, I get the pressure of finding something engaging and useful for our kids to do over the summer break. OutSchool can help keep them engaged and their minds stimulated and their imaginations firing. They offer every kind of class you can imagine, from entrepreneurship to freestyle dancing to art, even magic lessons. There's something for kids of all ages, grades, and interests. We homeschool in the Webb house, and we plan to get Aurora and Cohen signed up with some OutSchool activities to keep them engaged in a fun way and help them explore their talents and maybe discover some new ones. OutSchool will have your kids loving to learn and having fun doing it. Head over to outschool.com/purplerocket and use code PURPLERocket to learn all about OutSchool's summer programs and save $15 on your child's first class. That's OUTSCHOOL.com/purplerocket to save $15 on your child's first class. OutSchool.com/purplerocket, code PURPLERocket. And don't forget, parents, supporting our sponsors is a great way to support this podcast. And now, back to our show. The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Life. Episode 18. Pep the Peppermint Fairy. Far, far north, they say, is a place hidden from the rest of the world. A magical village protected by the mysterious powers of the Northern Lights and guarded by a wall of ice. Its name, the North Pole. Its streets are lined with quaint Swiss cottages, built with steep red roofs and held together by the North Pole's magical blue ice. Everything in the village is built with northern ice. The signs, the roads, the decorations. It hangs in long icicles from porches. It towers over walkways and giant, glittering carvings of moose, snowflakes, and polar bears. Walking and flying amongst them, you'll find the village's inhabitants, the last known colony of northern gruff elves, and the elusive Peppermint Fairy Clan. Under any other circumstances, these two groups of people would never, ever, ever dream of working together. Not if they were the only living creatures left on Earth. But for one night, and one night only, they come together to serve one man, Kris P. Kringle, or as you might know him, Santa Claus. You see, gruff elves prefer to work alone. Oh, they're amazing toy makers, no doubt about that. They could make you a toy airplane out of an old chair in a minute flat. and probably throw in a rocking horse while they're at it. But work with others? Not a chance. They are a salty bunch. And yet, at Santa's request, they put their differences aside for one night a year to join forces with the Peppermint Fairies. The Peppermint Fairies, with their big red and white striped hair and pointy ears, are in charge of making all the sweets for the stockings. Which is appropriate because they are a sweet little bunch, always hugging and smiling, and their candy-making abilities are world-famous among magical circles. Using the powers of the Northern Lights, they swirl together the most delectable treats you've ever tasted. On most evenings leading up to Christmas, they can be seen in their ice ball nests high up in the pine trees, spinning green clouds of light into candy canes, chocolate truffles, bubble gum, and sour balls. Sometimes they get creative and make outrageous creations like marshmallow snowmen that, when eaten, ooze hot cocoa. The busy glowing ice balls shimmer in the pines like Christmas tree ornaments in the night. It is delightful. But the gruff elves don't seem to think so. They don't care much for the Peppermint Fairies. Not just because they don't like working with others, or because they find the fairies' sweetness nauseating, but also because the Peppermint Fairies are very confident in their abilities, much like the elves themselves. The result is an unspoken Christmas Eve competition to see who is Santa's most important helpers after all. Bundled up in a thick red and white coat and buried in a cap, Santa stepped out of his cabin in the center of the village. Santa's cabin was a humble little home made of wood and magic ice like the rest of the village. But, as it is with everything at the North Pole, there was far more to it than met the eye. It was built like an iceberg, with most of the home expanding under the ice. Hidden below the tiny shack were countless bedrooms, spiraling staircases, libraries, kitchens, and even a hot spring room with a steaming natural pool for when Santa returned from his long journey on Christmas morning. Yep, Santa couldn't complain. Santa marched through the snow next to his pudgy, gruff elf assistant, Sniff.
"How are we looking, Sniff?"
he asked in a friendly, booming voice.
"Are we on schedule?"
"We've completed the 9,000th batch of dolls, and we're moving on to the yo-yos,"
Sniff said, sniffing his big, bulbous nose. Santa raised a snow-covered eyebrow.
"Yo-yos? They're still in, huh?"
"They're a big hit in Norway this year, sir."
"Ah, of course. Well, make them the best yo-yos you can. Those poor kids have endured quite a winter this year. Oh, and make sure the Peppermint Fairies make plenty of licorice treats for their stockings. I know how much the Norwegian kids love those things."
Sniff rolled his eyes and sniffed.
"Sniff, no need to be jealous of the fairies," Santa said. "This rivalry of yours has gone on too long. I'm sure they wish they could build toys as well as you elves, just as you wish you could make treats as they do. Look at me." "Sniff, I want this to be the first Christmas you all get along. It would make Mrs. Claus so happy."
"I wouldn't count on it,"
Sniff grumbled, glaring at the glowing fairy ice balls in the trees. A steady stream of treats fell from them into sacks that, once full, were lifted by several fairies and carried to Santa's workshop. Santa and Sniff reached the workshop just as a group of Peppermint Fairies came flying up with a sack loaded with goodies. Santa grunted at Sniff and motioned for him to open the door for them. Sniff reluctantly did so, and the fairies flew inside, whispering sweet little thank yous that made Sniff cringe. Inside the workshop, short, gruff elves hurried from machine to machine and cranked out remarkable toys every few seconds. One leathery elf pulled on the levers of a bulky wooden machine. Its ice cogs turned until a perfect sled spat out the other end. The rest of the elves, hammered, screwed, molded, sculpted, wired, soldered, snapped, clipped, and twisted toys together. Their chubby hands worked frantically to finish the last of their toys and load them into the sleigh. Santa picked up a miniature working Ferris wheel.
Excellent work! This is gonna be one of the best batches yet! What's this?
Santa set down the Ferris wheel and walked over to the sack of treats that the peppermint fairies were setting down. Santa reached in and pulled out a big chocolate carousel with turning horses made of colored toffee and candy canes for poles.
Ho, ho, ho! This could only be the work of Pep! Where are you, Pep?
A shy little peppermint fairy emerged from behind the bag.
Here I am, sir,
he stuttered.
Pep, you've outdone yourself, Santa said. This is one of the most magical treats I've ever seen. Some child is in for an unforgettable Christmas with this one.
He studied it through his half-moon glasses and then scratched his white beard.
I'm not sure I can fit this thing into a stocking, though.
The elves behind him snickered.
I was thinking it could be sitting under the tree,
Pep suggested.
That way it can be lit by the lights and look even more magical.
Santa's rosy cheeks beamed, and the elves' expressions soured.
That's the best idea I've heard all night, Santa said with a wink. Now, he clapped. I'll trust you all to finish loading everything into my sleigh while I go give Mrs. Claus a little sugar myself before I set off. Thank you all for your hard work. As always, you've made this old man proud.
And with that, Santa left the workshop.
You think you're pretty special, don't you?
Said Burf, the biggest, grouchiest elf of the lot.
You think you're better than us.
He set down his half-finished fire truck and walked over. Pep hid behind the bag of treats and trembled in his sugary wings. His friends flew up to his rescue.
Please leave him alone,
they said.
He's done nothing to offend you.
I beg to differ, Burf sneered.
He tossed his long green hair and pointed a stubby finger.
You're trying to make us look bad, Pepsqueak. You're trying to take our jobs.
A few of the gruff elves behind him shouted, Yeah! In agreement.
I was just trying to make Christmas magical for
the children? Burf mocked. You want to make it special for them, do you?
Burf grinned a sinister grin.
I think that's a great idea. What better way to make Christmas magical than to give them a magical fairy?
Burf snatched Pep before he could fly away and crammed him into the cockpit of a toy airplane. Then, grabbing some tape off the table, he taped the doors shut. Pep struggled to free himself from the toy. He pushed and kicked on the airplane door, but it wouldn't budge. Burf laughed and tossed the toy into Santa's bag on the sleigh and then piled more toys on top of it.
Now be a good little present and make your child lots of sweets.
Burf laughed. His gruff elf friends looked at each other uncomfortably. All of them knew Burf had gone too far, but they were too afraid to stand up to him. Pep's peppermint fairy friends flew over to the bag. As they dug for Pep through the mountain of toys, the workshop barn door suddenly slid open. Santa marched in with a harness in hand.
Everyone stand back,
he ordered, and then latched it to the sleigh. The other end was connected to 9 reindeer. The beautiful animals were big and strong, like a cross between a moose and a Clydesdale horse. They were lined up in rows of 2, with 1 leading the team out in front. Rudolph, with his strong, dark red snout, looked back at Santa and bleated.
I know we're late, Rudy, Santa said, hopping onto his sleigh. It's kind of a tradition at this point.
He noticed the fairies fluttering around his bag and waved them off.
Stop horsing around! I've got to go! Don't worry, I'll bring you all back something.
Santa turned to his reindeer.
on Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer, on Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner, on Blitzen, on Rudolph!
He flicked the reins and sent a burst of northern lights down the bridle into the deer. When it reached Rudolph, his dark red nose beamed a warm spotlight out in front of them. Fat flakes of snow drifted in the light that turned up towards the night sky. With another flick of the reins, the reindeer ran, pounding into the snow until their legs treaded air.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Santa shouted as he vanished into the night. Normally, that was the cue for the elves and fairies to break out into thunderous cheers. But not tonight. Tonight, they all stared up in stunned silence. Pep was on that sleigh, trapped in a toy destined to be delivered. The only one not bothered was Burf. The big crotchety elf proudly dusted his hands and chuckled to himself. Up above the clouds, Santa's sleigh streaked over the earth. In the blink of an eye, Santa landed on rooftops, grabbed his sack, and slid down chimneys. Where there were no chimneys, he got creative and magically squeezed through doggy doors or open windows. The greased golden runners under the sleigh made for quick, silent landings, so no matter where Santa chose to land, he was sure to go unnoticed. With every stop, Santa's elf helper Sniff would remind Santa whose house he was at and sometimes hand him presents when the sack grew too heavy to carry. He'd sniff and shout names like,
Barry White, or Nancy Hannigan, or Hans Lubrick.
With every name came the toss of a present, and down Santa went. Bouncing from one city to the next, Santa traveled across the world, delivering presents and sweets to all the good boys and girls. Through the crisp night air, he guided his sleigh with masterful precision. He snaked between skyscrapers. He curved around Big Ben and arched over the Great Pyramids. He glided down the Sydney Opera House just for fun. All the while, poor little Pep, the peppermint fairy, bounced around in Santa's bag like a rag doll, still trapped in the toy airplane. He tumbled helplessly in the dark and tried to call for help, but neither Santa nor Sniff could hear him. They were too focused on the task at hand, and Pep's little voice was muffled under all the toys. Unaware, Santa pushed on. He even took time to land on trains and flying planes. For his train stops, he snuck down through the steam engine chimney and silently made his rounds. For planes, he landed on the roof, snuck into the baggage compartment, and filled suitcase after suitcase with toys and treats. No one was forgotten. Every Christmas tree was adorned with elvish toys, and every stocking was filled to the brim with fairy treats. Pep's toy airplane finally made it to the top of Santa's bag as Santa was starting his descent over his last stop of the night, Stockholm, Sweden. As they landed on the first roof, Sniff reached into the sack and grabbed the toy plane. It moved in his hand.
Bah!
He screamed.
Ah!
Pep screamed back. Sniff held the toy plane up for Santa to see.
Santa, we got a stowaway!
Santa looked back in surprise.
Ho, ho, holy night! Pep, was that you?
Pep shivered in his wings.
Yes, sir. Burf locked me in this toy and threw me in your bag.
That sounds like Burf, Sniff said, shaking his head.
Sounds like somebody just made the naughty list, Santa said. Are you okay?
He pulled the little plane door open and helped Pep out. Pep nodded.
As you know, I don't normally let peppermint fairies ride with me on Christmas Eve, Santa told him. I can't afford to have you fluttering around and being seen.
A smile split his beard.
But tonight will have to be the exception. Come on up here. Take a seat.
Sniff was mildly annoyed by the invitation, but kept his mouth shut while Pep flew over and sat next to Santa. His red and white striped hair was still in a mess from the wild journey.
There you go. Now wait here while I make the deliveries.
Santa struggled to pull himself out of the sleigh.
Whoa! Those cookies are starting to take their toll. My digestive system isn't what it used to be. Present?
He held out his hand and Sniff tossed him the toy plane and a bag of fairy treats. Santa looked down at Pep.
Watch this old man work his magic.
Pep couldn't wait to see Santa in action. But his excitement faded as he watched Santa waddle over to the chimney like a pregnant duck.
Santa, sunrise is in 30 minutes, Sniff reminded the jolly old man.
Yeah, I got it.
With a grunt, Santa heaved himself onto the chimney and slowly squeezed down it. He did this for the next 5 houses, every time emerging even slower than before, and mumbling Christmas songs under his breath. But the mumbling soon turned from jingle bells to things like,
Oh, cookies. I can't. No more. There are too many.
The sky was starting to turn dark blue, and half of the stars had faded. Sniff panicked.
Santa, pick it up! We're running out of time!
Santa plopped down into the sleigh.
Oh, it's the cookies, he groaned. I just can't do it. The last house set out a whole pan of them. I'm talking a 9x13 at least.
Well, don't eat them, Sniff argued.
I can't help myself. It's a tradition and the kids are counting on it.
Santa shifted in his seat.
Besides, I kind of like them.
Santa?
Pep stuttered.
Yes?
Would it help if I took a turn with the stockings? I could fill them and eat the cookies for you. Peppermint fairies have a very high tolerance for sugar.
Santa grinned.
That they do. What are we waiting for?
So Pep flew down each chimney with Santa, filling stockings with perfect treats and gobbling up cookies in a flash. The brighter the sky grew, the faster they worked. Near the end, Pep was nothing but a tiny red light, zipping in and out of stockings and flashing over plates, leaving nothing but crumbs behind. As they reached the last street, Santa was practically skipping out of the sleigh. He was so happy. Even Sniff couldn't hide his joy. He was in charge of making sure Santa stayed on schedule after all, and if it hadn't been for Pep's help, they'd only be halfway done with the city. Finally, they touched down on the last house. It was a small brick cottage at the end of the street. Without a minute to lose, Santa and Pep rushed down the narrow chimney. When they landed, they could see the sun starting to peek through the frosted windows.
Oh boy, here it comes, Santa whispered. Quick, fill that stocking and let's get out of here.
Pep went to reach into his little sack of treats, but it was empty. His little fairy heart raced.
Yes? What is it?
Pep turned the empty sack towards Santa. Santa's eyes bulged.
It's all gone?
All of it, sir,
Pep whispered. Just then, they heard the sound of footsteps coming down the stairs.
Oh, Mommy, do you think he came?
Said a girl's voice. Pep thought quickly.
What does she like?
He asked Santa. Santa blinked and then said,
Her name's Alice, and she loves princesses.
The footsteps were growing louder. Pep held out his hands, conjured a ball of northern light magic, and then swirled the bluish-green glow into something incredible. It was a chocolate princess tiara with hard candy jewels. He tossed it into the stocking and held out his hands again. More glowing, and this time it produced a bubblegum bracelet. Then a lollipop wand and some hard candy rings. Last of all, Pep opened his glowing hands, and there appeared a pair of ruby red and white peppermint slippers. With one great throw, he tossed them into Alice's stocking and bolted for the chimney.
Amazing, Santa muttered, staring at the magical sweets.
Come on, sir,
Pep pleaded. Santa ran for the chimney. Alice was almost to the last step.
The cookies,
Santa said, noticing the plate on the end table. Pep looked back at the pink frosted cookies. A glowing light streaked across the room, emptied the plate, and flashed up the chimney. Alice and her parents stepped off the staircase. For a second, the little girl thought she saw some dust trickling down the chimney. but her gaze quickly turned to her stocking hanging on the mantle, absolutely overflowing with princess sweets. She squealed and ran for it. Outside her window, Santa's sleigh could barely be seen vanishing into the sky. Back at the North Pole, the gruff elves and peppermint fairies cheered at the arrival of Santa and his reindeer. Mrs. Claus greeted the big man in a loving embrace. The elves helped Sniff out of the sleigh and congratulated him on another successful year.
"Don't congratulate me," Sniff said. "It was all him."
He pointed back at the sleigh as Pep peeked out at the crowd. His red and white striped hair barely rose above the sleigh door. "Go on," Santa whispered to him with a smile. Everyone went quiet as Pep slowly fluttered up out of the sleigh.
"You made it back?" Burf said, disappointed. "I thought we were rid of you."
Santa opened his mouth to rebuke the elf, but Sniff beat him to it.
"Don't talk to him like that," he said.
The rest of the elves gasped. Burf, too, seemed aghast.
"Pep saved Christmas," Sniff announced. "He filled the last of the stockings and made it so we could finish in time. We were lucky to have him."
The elves and fairies chattered amongst themselves.
"It's true," Santa said, hopping off his sleigh. "Pep did come to my rescue. But if it weren't for the teamwork of these two helpers..."
He put one hand on Sniff and another under Pep.
"Last night wouldn't have been possible. It's amazing what we can accomplish when we put aside our differences and work together. Helping each other out of love. That is true Christmas magic."
The elves and fairies looked at each other. They felt bad for how competitive they'd been. They'd gotten so caught up in trying to outdo each other that they'd lost sight of what made Christmas so special. Warm, contagious love.
I have something for the elves," Pep said quietly.
He reached into Santa's bag.
I made it on our way home."
His voice was muffled from inside the bag. When he emerged, the elves' jaws dropped. It was a bag full of little white balls.
They're snowball truffles," Pep explained. I know you all don't like sweets, but I tried to make the best of both worlds. They're dark chocolate balls filled with extra salty peanut butter and dusted with a whole lot of sea salt."
There was a long pause.
"Let the snowball fight begin," Santa declared.
The elves and fairies cheered, and all the yummy snowballs were handed out. Running and flying about, the fairies and elves laughed and threw the snowballs back and forth, eating them when they burst and licking their fingers. After that, Pep and Sniff became best friends, and the peppermint fairies and gruff elves rarely, if ever, quarreled again. In fact, they worked in perfect harmony every Christmas. And from then on, Santa always brought Pep along to help him fill stockings. Thanks to their new strategy, never again did Santa almost make it to daylight or pass out from a sugar coma. He returned home full of joyous energy and with time to spare. So to this day, when you get up on Christmas morning and see a stocking full of goodies and your cookie plate cleaned, remember that it very well could have been from Santa's newest little helper, Pep the Peppermint Fairy. Rocketeers, let me just say, if any of you recreate the peanut butter chocolate truffle snowballs from this story, you have my permission to come to my house and throw one as hard as you like directly at my face. I mean it, but I'm warning you, I'm a fast eater, and I happen to love peanut butter, so just throwing it out there, okay? What I wanted you all to take from this story this Christmas is how important it is to be kind to each other.
The best Christmas gift you can give to someone is kindness and love. And just like the Gruff Elves and the Peppermint Fairies, you all have unique gifts and personalities that allow you to serve and help others in special ways. Maybe you're really good at making crafts. You can make your mom and dad a craft this Christmas. Or maybe if you saw someone at school that seemed kind of sad, you can give the craft to them. Maybe you like to play music. You can perform for someone that might be having a hard time this Christmas, like a lonely loved one or the folks at a senior living facility. My challenge to you this Christmas is to be kind and use your talents to spread the joy and love of the season to someone who you might not normally reach out to, just like the Peppermint Fairies and the Gruff Elves. Do it, and I promise you it will fill you with the Christmas spirit and make this holiday extra special and memorable. Merry Christmas, Rocketeers, and thank you for listening. This is your host, Greg Webb.